about it for a moment. We lose Jesus when we get so busy and distracted with the urgent in life that we forget the important.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host, here with Pastor Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, it's December around Chicago. Things are starting to get busy. They've been playing Christmas music now for about, 5 months. And we're getting close to this big event. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, this is a great time to stroll down Michigan Avenue, stop by the Starbucks that's right there, pick up a hot chocolate, and enjoy the lights, the festivity, the season, the hustle and bustle. People come from all over the place, Joshua, to experience Christmas in Chicago. So it's an awesome time. But we are wanting to make sure, and I have to do a heart check every Christmas. God, this is a busy season and time. I want to make sure that in the bustle and hustle and movement and spending and parties and decoration, that Jesus does not get lost in the crowd. I want to make this about the birth of Jesus. So I want to encourage our listeners even right now, think about how can you put Jesus in the center of this Christmas? You know, one of our traditions that I've had in my household, Joshua, since my kids were very, very small, is that right before they open their presents on Christmas morning, it's kind of torture for them a little bit, but we would sit down with a big Bible, and I always read through the birth of Jesus story. Now, I have to admit, they're a little anxious to get through the story rapidly. Uh-huh. But it's our way of saying, let's remember in this process. You may have a tradition. I don't know what tradition you're involved in, but let's put Jesus and his birth at the center of our Christmas celebration.
That's good. That's good. We usually do that on Christmas Eve. We light the candles. We read the Jesus story from Luke, play a couple of Christmas songs, pass out a gift, and just set the focus, set the tone on Jesus. Make sure he's not missing from the great festivities. And Pastor Mark, your message today is called Jesus is Missing.
Yeah.
From Luke chapter 2. And so, friends, as you listen in, may you be inspired and encouraged. May this be some wind in your sails this holiday season.
Pranksters were finding nativity scenes outside of churches or in front of people's yards, and they were deciding to steal baby Jesus. And so people would show up to the manger scene and realize Jesus is missing. A security company heard about the rash of robberies and decided to come up with some innovative ways of tracking baby Jesus. And so they actually offered GPS. Yeah, so the GPS tracking devices that they would insert in baby Jesus so that if baby Jesus was stolen, they could GPS and find out where they were at. And sure enough, a pretty expensive baby Jesus was stolen in front of a church, and they tracked it to an 18-year-old's house, and baby Jesus was on the carpet there, and they were able to retrieve Jesus because of their GPS system. And I thought to myself, it's kind of comical that people are putting GPSs in baby Jesus because Jesus has gone missing from Christmas. However, I think that it's not just from manger scenes that Jesus has gone missing. I think that there are many people in today's hustle and bustle society that wake up in the middle of have a aha moment in the middle of an elevator at Macy's, pushing people with baskets in their hand and gifts alongside of them, and have this aha moment of like, what is this all about? Is this what the holiday season is all about? And by the way, where is Jesus in all of this busyness? And so I want to talk to you today about missing Jesus and how to return Jesus to your Christmas. And to do so, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 41 through 52
of Luke chapter 2. As you turn there in your Bibles, I was also aware that there's a lot of misconceptions and myths about Christmas that we buy into. Some of those have been perpetuated by movies that we see about the birth of Jesus, or images on the front of postcards that we see about that night. I think we've romanticized that night. We've cleaned it up. We've made it glow. We've made it glitter and sparkle. But in reality, what happened 2,000 years ago in that little cave or that little stable was gritty, was smelly, was dark, was ugly if you didn't understand what was happening. For example, we sing a song, which is one of the most famous songs in Christmas. Which one is it? The most famous song? Silent Night. And it goes something like this. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And here's what I think about. I've had three children. I've been at the birth of those three children. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing calm or silent or bright about it. It is loud and it is painful and it is not a calm, quiet thing when a baby is born. In fact, even after the epidural, it's not that calm. After our first baby was born, my wife said, "Don't rub my back next time. Don't give me soothing words. Don't hold my hand. Just go get an epidural from the anesthesiologist as fast as you can." And so that was my goal next time around. There's another hymn that we sing that's called "Away in the Manger," one of the other famous songs that we sing. And there's a line in the song that says, "The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes." Now, I thought about that for a moment and think, I've had a couple newborn babies and they always cry. First of all, at night. So there is no like lowing cow that puts them to sleep. That's not the way it works. Babies wake up through the night, they cry. I've heard cows too, and their lowing does not put babies to sleep. It is a loud lowing. There's smelly animals in the stable. And so I think that we've sanitized it. We've romanticized what the birth of Jesus was all about. But I think that it was more gritty, smelly, and down to earth than what we think. The other thing that mythology about our Christmas, and I don't want to mess you up here, but I know that at your nativity scene, many of you have a baby Jesus, a Joseph, a Mary, a cow, a sheep, and three wise men, right? The problem with your nativity scene is that the three wise men were not there when Jesus was born. I know I'm messing it up for you. In fact, the wise men started their journey most likely on the day of Jesus' birth, and it took them months to get to the site of Jesus. So if you really want to have a right nativity scene, you need to eliminate the wise men. By the way, we don't know if there were three. There could have been 20 also, because the Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men they were. So if you really want to have a good manger scene in your house, you need to take the three wise men and you need to put them in another room in your house. And 6 months from now, you can bring them to the manger scene, because they weren't there actually when it happened. And one other thing. Jesus was not born on December 25th. I know I'm messing up your Christmas for some of you. More than likely, Jesus was born. We don't have the exact date of Jesus' birth, but most scholars believe that Jesus was born in the early fall. So he was not born in December. In fact, December 25th was a pagan holiday. And when Christians started to become, massive amounts of Christians started to come to Christ during the early Roman Empire, there was a holiday on December 25th in which they basically celebrated the sun god, and Christians decided we're not going to celebrate the sun god anymore. There's only one god that we should celebrate, and that is Jesus, the Son of God. And so they confiscated December 25th, and now we celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th. Yeah. And so let me tell you, this shouldn't take away from your Christmas, because I think that the birth of Jesus should be celebrated on whatever date we can find, because it is an amazing, powerful, life-transforming event. In Luke chapter 2, it tells us about the birth of Jesus. But the final verses of Luke chapter 2 tell us about an event in the life of Jesus that occurred when he was 12 years old. Now, there's very little in Scripture about Jesus' pre-adolescence or even his adolescent years. But this happens to be a snapshot of Jesus at 12. So think about Jesus as a junior high boy. This gives us an image into that. And the thing I like about this story is that here are parents that actually lose Jesus for 3 days. Doesn't that make you feel better as parents? They lose their, this is Joseph and Mary. I mean, they're really good parents. Yet they lose Jesus for 3 days. Their 12-year-old boy is lost for 3 days. Thank God there was no DCFS back then, right? We could have had a whole different story. But what I like about this story is how they discover Jesus again. And I think in this story, there's parallels to how we lose Jesus in our lives. And so I want to make some parallels between the losing of Jesus of Joseph and Mary and what happens to us sometimes in the distraction and the busyness of life. I'm reading out of Luke chapter 2. I'm beginning in verse 41. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, Jesus is Missing. It's from our series called Jesus, the Story Behind Christmas. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 2. We're in verses 41 through 52. Pastor Mark's message, Jesus is missing.
When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? Jesus asked. Didn't you know that I had to be about my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Jerusalem with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want to talk to you today about how we lose Jesus in the hustle and bustle of life. And if you're taking notes today, I want you to jot this down. Number one, we lose Jesus when we get so busy and distracted with the urgent in life that we forget the important. Think about it for a moment. Joseph and Mary were going to a party. It was a religious festival, but it was a festival in which they were going to see their long-lost relatives. family members that they did not normally see. And so they would be with their cousins and their aunts and uncles. And there was food and festivity and catching up and parties and things to places to go and things to do and travel arrangements to make. And in all of this busyness that they were involved in, Jesus was a part of it, but they got distracted, preoccupied. So that in the busyness and distraction, they sort of lost track of where Jesus was and ended up actually losing their very own son. You know, I thought about that and I realized that many of you during this season of life, and not just this season, just life in general, life is busy, isn't it? I mean, there's bills to pay and appointments to make, and there's people to see, and there's always a thousand things that seem to have to be done. And it's very easy in our life to get caught up in the urgent. The thing that has to be done because something's screaming or telling us it has to be done today. It can't wait. And so we get caught up in barely surviving, feeling like you're just keeping your head above water with all the things that have to be done, all the demands that you have on your life. And sometimes we live our life in the busyness of life, but we wake up one day and realize, hey, in all this doing, in all this busyness, even in the good stuff, have I lost what is really important? Have I forgotten what life is all about? Have I missed out on something that I thought I would never lose, never abandon, never let go? Not because I wanted to let go of it, but because I got so busy and distracted that I inadvertently lost one of the most important things in my life, my relationship with God through His Son Jesus. I think every parent here has felt the panic of losing or thinking that you lost a child. How about it? I remember when my daughter was probably about 2 years old, my wife had dragged me to a store. And I wasn't happy to be there, but I was dragging along with her, wondering how long it's going to take. And I was supposed to be watching my little daughter, 2 years old. And so as I looked at my watch, as I wondered where we were going, my wife, who was ahead looking at some clothes, turned around and she said, "Where's Marissa?" And I looked around. Oh, that's a moment of panic. How about it? I looked around and I said, "Well, she was just here. Where is she?" Thousand things go through your mind. I start looking around to see if I see any suspicious looking characters, see if someone has a big overcoat if they took her. I look at the front door to see if someone's running with my daughter. You start thinking a thousand things like, how could I have lost my daughter? Where is she? Are they shaving her head right now and putting boys' clothes on her to try to take her away? And I ran back and forth. She was just here. I don't know. My wife is looking at me. How could you lose our daughter? And the panic and adrenaline, like, she should be around here somewhere close. And there she was. Finally, she poked her head out. She had gotten under some coats in a rack. And she said, "Hi." I hugged her. You want to spank her and hug her at the same time? You're not sure what you want to do. But it's that panic of losing something, realizing at a moment that you think you've lost something that was really, really important. And so it is with our walk with God. Sometimes we're so distracted by life that it's not until someone stops, a tragedy happens, we encounter an old friend that's really walking with Jesus. Something occurs in our life that we need God, and we wake up and we say, "Hey, hold on, where is my walk with God? Where did it go?" I remember when I prayed fervently, when I opened up my Bible and God would speak to me, when I worshiped with abandon, when I was excited about living on mission with God. What happened to my life that I've lost that which was so vital, so important in my life. And I believe that oftentimes, like Joseph and Mary, if we're not careful, the busyness of life can drown out that which is really important. By the way, it doesn't just happen in our walk with God. It can happen with important things in your family as well. You may have a marriage that you count as really important, but you've gotten so busy in life that you take very little time to cultivate it. Maybe you have a son or daughter, and you're so busy in life that when's the last time you sat down and really talked with them and heard how they're doing? Maybe you have a friend that you were close, really close to, but you've gotten so busy in life that you haven't taken much time really to focus on what is important in life, not just what is urgent in life. So not only do we get distracted with the urgent, but we also get disconnected. In verse 44, it says, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Secondly, if you're taking notes, write this down. We get disconnected and we make assumptions about our relationship. I want you to see what was happening with Joseph and Mary. They assumed that Jesus was there. They just assumed that he was in their company. They left Jerusalem and started traveling, assuming that Jesus would always be there like he's always been there before, just assuming that he would follow along with them. But because they had little communication with him, they assumed he was there when actually they had left Jesus behind. You see, some of us in our spiritual walk, I think we assume, because 5 years ago you had an encounter with God, a powerful encounter with God, that you're always going to have the same relationship that you had 5 years ago. You assume that your spiritual life is still doing well like it was because you knew him. But you travel along in life without realizing that you're actually neglecting one of the most vital, important relationships in your life, making assumptions that nothing has changed. I sit down and talk with married couples all the time, in which a husband assumes that his wife feels like she's loved, assumes that she knows that she's appreciated, assumes that things are just the way they were when they got married, but he's forgotten to remind her that she's important, to cultivate that relationship. He's just kind of gone assuming that things are like they've always been. And he wakes up one day and he realizes, hey, I just assumed she was happy. I assumed she was connected. I assumed she felt loved. I assumed that nothing had changed, not realizing that he's losing one of the most important relationships of his life, assuming that everything is just the same. You see, I believe that in our life we make a lot of assumptions about our relationships. Relationships need to be cultivated. Relationships cannot be ignored or taken for granted. Relationships cannot be, we cannot assume that how we started years ago is maintaining the same today. It's the same in our walk with God. Just as a relationship with a spouse needs to be cultivated, or the relationship with a son or daughter needs to be fueled, so it is in our walk with God. Our walk with God, that relationship needs to be cultivated, or we wake up one day assuming that it's the same, but realizing that we're disconnected. I was having a conversation on my cell phone this past week, and as I was talking on the phone, the phone got disconnected, and the guy on the other side of the phone was just telling me a story, was going on and on, and so it took me a while to figure out. We got disconnected. I dialed him about 5 minutes later, and when I called him, he said, hey, how long have you been off the phone? He just assumed that I was on the other line. He assumed that I was listening, I guess. You know, I wasn't saying, yeah, okay. He just assumed that I was there and kept talking as though I was there, but I had been disconnected for at least 5 minutes. Some of us are like that in our relationships, with our family, with our spouse, and more importantly, with our walk with God.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. And this was the first half of his message called Jesus is Missing. It's from our series called Jesus, the Story Behind Christmas. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. Join the 6,500-plus people who have gotten their messages right from their listening device. There you will also find some great messages and a Bible app to help you with your spiritual walk. Also, we invite you to visit us this Christmas season at one of our New Life locations. We have 27 life-giving churches. Log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. You can find the times and the places that we meet, and we would love to meet you. Please tell them that you heard about New Life through the Straight Talk program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our Jesus, the Story Behind Christmas series. Have a great evening. God bless.